Create a live broadcast. Okay, so it says now that we are live again. I'm not sure how this works through the laptop. This is the first time I've done anything that way, so I may have to adjust some volume as we go here. Gonna see what we've got going on. It tells us that we have somebody tuning in here. So Mary, go ahead and give us a chat.
Through your laptop, right?
Well, I'm not sure yet. Looks like Pat has checked in. Pat, are you able to hear Mary through the phone here? Mary, go ahead and chat.
Yep, I'm over here.
Okay, it looks like, all right, everybody can hear now. So now you're lucky enough that you get to gawk at my unshaven mug as we talk with Mary this evening. I'm so sorry about this, guys. I have no idea really what's going on. I got a new cell phone, and I'm thinking that might potentially be what the problem is here. So, all right, so Mary, we were talking about you growing up and experiencing some gated horses. Kind of take us back through that. I apologize to make you chew your cabbage twice here, or now four times.
Let my horse be adopted out at the end, auctioned off, just
Right.
Me. So I jumped on that one. And I was just saying, and that was like the big one. That's like the one in Texas. It wasn't one of the regional ones. So when you got to do the one in Tennessee, too, if you're going to do that one. And I just, I mean, I had my blinders on. I mean, I just knew that I was supposed to do the one where I got to keep my horse. And that was Lindsay's Faith, and we still have her. She's the one that was, you know, immortalized as a buyer model horse.
So oh, okay.
It just set a cascade of events that I, you know, was pretty much immersed in makeovers for the next 3 years. And now I'm like, you know, 8 Mustangs later, and now we've gotten even more. Now we actually have 13 wild horses total that are, you know, gentle, but still have very much wild souls. And here I am.
And it was just that easy, right?
Yeah, it was. And I go back, I think, you know, the nurse spreader, dating horses, connections, people that I didn't know that just, you just never know what life is mapping out for you.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So what year was it that you got started with that? Did they call that the Mustang Magic? Is that what that was called, that first one?
I did the Magic event. That was actually the only event that I did where we didn't get to adopt our horses at the beginning, and I was able to keep mine and adopt her at the end. Magic is the one that they do in January where they invite trainers from past events, and they kind of have top 10 trainers and feature certain trainers at that one.
Gotcha.
So the first one that I did, so I wouldn't have been able to do that one first. The first one that I did was, it was 2010, and that was the first year that they did what they called the Supreme Extreme Mustang Makeover. And they continued that through 2012, and then 2013 they changed it to Mustang Million when they added all that money to it. And then after Mustang Million, they've gone back to, they've got different kinds of formats, but for the most part, the horses, you know, are auctioned off at the end. Some of the trainers, you know, they can bid on their own horse if they want, and a lot of them do.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Very cool. Very cool. So, let's see. So the Briar horse deal, that sounds pretty cool. Talk me through, what was the process for that? How did they just get in touch with you and ask about that, or how did that work?
Yeah, they did. It was actually, somehow it landed in my spam folder of all places.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
Yeah, holy, talk about, you know, reading to check your spam folder. I had, you know, Lindsay's Faith was, like I said, the first one, and I did the 2010 makeover. We made finals, but we really didn't do that well in the finals that year. I had actually was pregnant while generaling and training her, and didn't even know I was going to be, but I just knew I was supposed to do this competition, and I just, you know, it was one of those things. So, but what I'm getting at is, I didn't really want to let everyone around me know, like friends and stuff, that I was over here pregnant training this wild horse. And so I can imagine. I was a little bit concerned about how the people that run the makeover would feel about it. You know, I didn't know what they would say, so I didn't want to tell anybody. And I was hoping maybe that I wouldn't be showing that much at the time of the competition, even though it turns out I was. But, can't really help that kind of thing.
Right. There's no hiding that once you get so far.
It just happens, right? So I didn't take her anywhere. I didn't haul her and get her exposed to a crowd. And I was very new to the makeover world. I didn't realize what a huge piece that was. I mean, you are putting on a show. I mean, you are in there. If you make it to the freestyle, man, I mean, you are, it is a packed house. They're screaming, they're hollering, they're clapping, and the horses, you know, you've got to prepare your horse for that.
Right. It's a lot once you get to that point, sure.
It is. I mean, you know, these horses are, you know, only 100 days from even, you know, that first touch. So Lizzie was a, you know, like my Mustang was just fabulous through all the preliminaries. She was an angel, and we got in there for the finals, and both of us, our hearts, I mean, I could feel her heart racing as fast as mine was. And, I mean, nothing bad happened, but, I mean, she was just terrified. We did good just to make it through. And so we finished, I think, like 17th overall that year, and they took the top. We were in the top 20. That year they did the top 20. So anyway, it was really emotional because it was like I had all this momentum and I just felt like this was something we were supposed to really do and do well. And then though we made the finals, which was a huge deal in and of itself, I didn't really realize that at the time, but you know, the finals just didn't go the way I had wanted. And again, it's another one of those things that just, you just don't know what is laid out for you, because within the next year, this America's Favorite Trail Horse thing came along, and it was kind of like a reality show for horses, kind of, sort of, and we did that, and she was always amazing out on the trail without, you know, a big wall of people screaming at her.
Sure.
And so she was just fabulous, and they videoed the whole thing. Like, we would go, you know, through these natural obstacles they videoed, and they had celebrity judges. Guy McLean had just come into the States not long before that, and he was there. And I got to meet him for the first time, you know, and got to know him, and have gotten to know him better since, and just adore him. And so it was the beginning of a lot of relationships. And we were fortunate to be able to win that. And, so I think it was a combination of having a title and then also her being obviously, you know, from the wild, and she's a unique color. She's roan, but she has a silver mane.
Oh, okay.
They all have a silver mane. So, so around Christmas time in, I think it was 2012, I got this email from them and asking if I was interested. And like I said, it was sitting in my spam folder. And a few weeks after they sent it, I found it and just my mouth just dropped.
Just by random luck of clearing out the spam folder.
We don't know each other extremely well, Mr. Patrick, but I don't do a lot of cleaning up today. Yeah, I don't know why I even looked at the spam folder. No, you should see my email. Yeah, that's not really one of my things. But I don't know why I looked there. I really have no idea why I looked at the spam folder, but I did, and I saw it, and I just was just in shock. I mean, I, like many kids, I mean, I grew up, my floor, my bedroom was covered in briar horses. I mean, the whole floor, the bed, I mean, it was my Barbie doll. I think I had one Barbie doll to ride the briar horses, but...
Nice. She had quite a collection, didn't she?
Yeah. I mean, these were really, I mean, it's very, very big deal for me. So, yeah, for that to happen was surreal. And then, you know, to be able to go to Briar Fest, because they invited us to Briar Fest to bring Lindsay Space and... and actually be there and have her there in person. And
to showcase that she was the horse they were featuring in the model?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
They make these really cool, like a kind of like a fly sheet netted cooler, and they have Briar Fest monogrammed on. I mean, they just treat you like a celebrity. I mean, it's just a really cool experience to be a part of. So, and I had written the book, you know, I wrote the children's book about her, and the first one I had written not long before that, so we have those there too, and it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience for sure. It was really a very blessing to be able to be a part of that.
I'll bet. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. And now, do I understand right, you just released another children's book, is that right?
Yeah, well, then this one's about a goat.
Yes, right, about a goat. That's right.
Yeah. My daughter and I just did this. We've gotten into, we actually, here's the poop again, you know, the manure spreader, but we got goats for the poop because, you know, horses don't really do, their poop doesn't manage pastures as well as goat poop does. But the goat poop, it just spreads really well. I mean, it's really good stuff. So that's why we got into goats.
Okay.
And we also got them because we're real into eating really clean, and mm-hmm. and we they're dairy goats. So we drink the milk, and it's raw. It's just it's herd of goats now, and we just adore them. I mean, we don't sell hardly any of them. We don't use any of them for meat or anything like that. They're really a bunch of pets. And this goat yoga craze has kind of been going around. So we
goat yoga.
Yeah.
You gotta okay. You gotta tell me about goat yoga. This is one I haven't heard of yet. I live under a rock, Mary. I really do.
Well, it's really cool. It's basically that you do yoga in the pasture with the goats. And goats are just so social. So they just come up and they lay in your lap and they sit with you and they try to eat your clothes and, you know, they make you smile.
I'm just imagining myself trying like downward dog or warrior two or something and being butted and knocked over by a goat.
Well, fortunately, our goats don't really do that too much.
Good.
They're gentle goats, and we don't bring like, you know, bucks that are in rut, you know, that only have one thing on their mind.
Right.
That are not thinking about those things, and so
good.
It goes very well. So we have this one goat that was born, and she came out backwards. She was born itty-bitty. We really didn't think she was going to make it. We had to hold her up so that she could nurse. She actually was pretty strong, I mean, in the sense that she could nurse, but she couldn't stand. She couldn't straighten her legs to stand. And so we have this process with her. Her name's Delilah, and she does great. She gets around, but she's kind of bow-legged. I mean, and you can tell looking at her that she's different. She looks almost dwarfed, kind of.
Okay.
And but she is the superstar of goat yoga, because, I mean, who doesn't love a little bow-legged, any kind of goat that lays in your lap? So she used to feed. So my daughter, my then 6-year-old, just turned 7, she wakes up one morning and she says, "We should write a children's book about Delilah." And so I thought, well, yeah, we should. And so we did. So she and I we've written it. And she's orchestrated the whole thing. I mean, the children's books I did about the Mustang, apparently I did not do nearly enough big, huge, full-color pictures, because she said this thing has to be, I mean, she said it needs to be 8, you know, like the big, big book, 8.5 by 11, and we need full-color pictures, and it's basically a picture book as well as a reading book. I mean, there's about 2 lines on each page, so it really is cool for kids that are at that age where they're not quite able to read, but they are old enough to be engaged with looking at a book, because they can read the story from the pictures.
Okay, perfect.
So we've just done that. We're in the process of, we just did a Kickstarter in the process of publishing it and all. So, life is just one thing leads to the next, isn't it?
That's great. You've got me convinced I have to try goat yoga at some point. I've just got to try it. Yeah. Goodness. Okay, so when you and I first met, we were teaching at an event with John Lyons. This was a couple years ago now. And you were presenting a program there. I believe it was your I Am Heard program. Is that right?
Yes. I Am Heard is a nonprofit that I founded.
Okay. Tell us about that.
Yeah. It's all about horses helping humans to hear their own heart. And, you know, the reason that I started it is I've been blessed to work with quite a few different individuals that work with horses to help humans, just like I'm doing now with the Mustang. But there's a lot of different ways that horses can help us. There's a lot of different styles that people use, and really what I Am Heard is about being able to make those different styles available to the public in a cost-effective way. So my services now that I do with the Wild Mustang Guys, you know, my life data stuff, I can offer through I Am Heard for discounted services, for discounted amounts. And then I also have other, we call them herd guides, and they are other people that I have heard has partnered with that have their own ways of working with horses, partnering with horses to help humans. So I have heard kind of a melting pot of all these different styles of individuals that work with horses to help humans really tap into who it is that we really are.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, and I got to say, it was that program that you presented there when we were at that event that I was just, it was great. It was a fascinating program. I really enjoyed it. And since then, I've tried to follow along with a lot of what you've had going on, you know, online and things like that, because I think it's great stuff that you're doing. And now you have a new program. Is that correct? The Wild I Am experience?
Yeah, well, we still have I Am Bird. It's its own entity. It's a nonprofit.
Okay.
So it's not just me. It is me. I do a lot of stuff through I Am Bird, but it's also other herd guides as well. But then my personal business, there for a while, I was kind of doing more clinics and helping people, really directly with their horses. I did that actually for about a year in 2014, and I really found that, I just kept running into the same thing. And as I would help people, I would find that, I could take your horse and we could work on things, but, it was really the person that we needed to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes it was something that was within the person that they weren't necessarily even aware of. And it wasn't something I was going to be able to fix in a clinic situation or give them a tool that was going to make the horse behave a different way, that was going to fix something that was really originating deep within themselves. And, as I said, and I don't know if anybody can hear it, because it was back when we first started talking. but for me, horses have always been, even just thinking about a horse when I was a child, that's always been what's made me really feel like my authentic self, like I was really connected with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that authenticity that I truly crave this world to experience and own, and for people to rediscover that in themselves. I can't stand fake. I can't stand judgment. I cannot stand disconnection and we're going through so much dividedness right now. And, there is a deep authentic place within all of us where we really all are connected. And even those that don't realize it are just as connected as the rest.
Right.
And the horses just have a way. There's so many things to offer to help us rediscover this authenticity. And so that is really what has evolved. My business has gone from the clinics to, it's changed really drastically into these self-improvement and life guidance programs where the Mustangs are, I'm partnering with the Mustangs to give people a program. I mean, it's a really laid out, layered roadmap of a program where we go through a step-by-step process of working on reconnecting with our authentic self. And it's just amazing. I think the coolest thing about it is the fact that when I go to, quote, work, like when I go to create one of these sessions or go to do a live session with a group, I always walk away feeling so deeply empowered and just like, wow, that was such a real, raw, genuine experience. And to be creating a life where that can be my work, that's something that feels that authentic and real and worthy, I mean, it just blows me away.
That's when you know you're doing the right thing, right?
Yeah, it is. And it feels so right to me. It does. So, yeah.
That's fantastic. So you talk about the authentic self. How would you describe the authentic self?
Oh, goodness gracious.
That's
a really good question.
Well, I'm kind of a nerd. So as I do these, and now that everybody gets to see live into the studio of my hotel room here, everybody's watching me take notes as we talk on a cheap hotel pen. But this stuff, to me, you know, I feel very lucky because I get to learn as much from these audio broadcasts as everyone else does, because I'm sitting here jotting down questions that I have, and I get the chance to ask them. So so what is the authentic self that you're helping people to discover?
The way that I have been breaking it down is into what I call the wild I am and the domestic I am. And, you know, I am is anything that you claim to be. It's, you know, I am beautiful. I am fat. I am, you know, whatever you're going to put behind I am. I mean, there you are. So it's powerful. And I feel like the wild I am is really that deep, authentic place that is who you were before the world told you who to be. It's that self that you may remember as a child at some point when you were doing something and you were just completely lost in the moment and time just didn't even exist. And I have found that in talking to people about this program and explaining it to people, I mean, there's so many people that don't even remember having that experience. I mean, it's so, it's like as soon as they were birthed into the world, they had so many domestic I am shoved down them.
Right.
That they never, and they feel like they don't even know who that is. And some people are, it's an intimidating thing to jump into this course for some people, because it's like they almost don't even want to know, you know? And, but it is a beautiful process, and it is a very much a personal process. And, you know, you're going to be revealed. What is meant to be revealed to you is just what's going to be revealed. It's not going to be the same for everyone. There's not one specific wild I am for anyone. We have many facets of ourselves. But it is about getting down to those qualities that is really where you are true and raw and just a real authentic being, and not sitting there worried about what your house looks like or, you know, what face you're putting on for the public or what someone thinks of something you did or said. You know, no judgment. There's absolutely no judgment in that space. And it's so freeing. It's so freeing to be able to get there. And the horses live there. I mean, they're completely in the present all the time.
Right.
They're always in the present moment. They're never judging. I mean, it's why we're so drawn to them. Because we're drawn to those that mirror what it is, you know, that we desire within mm-hmm. ourselves.
Exactly.
And, the horses have it.
So it sounds like you're kind of getting people to the place of who they are without any of the involvement of ego.
Yeah.
And I don't even necessarily mean ego in a negative tone, right? I mean ego just as that kind of awareness and sensitivity to self that can cause us to pass judgment.
True, yeah. And we have to have it. I mean, you
sure.
cannot be a spirit in a human body without having a bit of a box.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
the bottom is the box. And so we have, and that's part of the program too, is to talk about the domestic I ams are kind of what you're talking about as ego. I mean, they're the things that we learn, that we need to, characteristics we need to take on to survive life, to get through life. But not only the same domestic I ams that may just help us survive life are also the same ones that can be empowering when we look at them in a new light. Like one, for example, is pattern. The word pattern is very much a domestic I am. And we all, as soon as we are born, we start taking on patterns. I mean, babies, infants are looking for patterns. They cry and they see if someone's gonna come, you know, pick them up and console them. And
sure.
we're craving things to ourselves all the time and creating these patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can easily become locked into patterns that are self-limiting, or we can become aware that we all have patterns and we can see, oh, okay, every time, you know, this happens, I always have this reaction. Maybe if I had another reaction, something different would happen. And it does. So a lot of this is also just becoming self-aware of, you know, kind of getting outside of ourselves and seeing us for who we are. So we can say, this pattern I like, I want to keep this, and this one I'm going to let go of. And what it does is it enables the wild I am, that deep authentic part of us, to then be able to actually manifest in this world in a powerful way that we actually enjoy and that benefits others. Because it does need the domestic I am to be able to operate in the world. You know, that free spirit has to have some type of lines to be able to get along, you know, and communicate with other people and co-create.
Gotcha. So how do we get people to that place?
Well, the way that right now, I'm in the midst of my foundation program. What I started doing, I have a membership group that I started, and it's become wonderful. So I've got this really nice group of like-hearted individuals that really all are deeply committed to this process of you know, self-discovery. And so what I did was I first launched this course in my member group as a beta course. And now and that was really helpful because it helped me just figure out exactly, you know, how to go about doing this. And this is really deep, complicated work.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, this moment in time, as you and I talk today, I am in the beginning of the 9-week program that I opened up to the public, and I'm actually 3 weeks into it, and it's split up into three stages, and the first stage is really about learning how to feel again, as humans, we avoid feeling. We don't want to feel things that hurt. I mean, who wants to feel pain? And so we swallow it, and then it just keeps trying to come back up.
Right.
And you can have a hard time feeling good emotions. I mean, you know, when you feel really happy about something, I mean, immediately some little voice in your head says, well, don't feel too happy. What about the starving children, you know, in some third world country? You need to be worried about them.
Right. We can have something that shuts that off. Sure.
You do. We automatically have this thing that says, no, you know, that's being selfish to be too happy right now. So it's like we don't allow ourselves to feel good or bad. We judge ourselves for everything.
Right.
And it's so deeply self-destructive to live that way. So I have a process, and all of this, I have different ways that the Mustang facilitates it, but one of the ways is something I call meditate like a Mustang, and I have footage that I've taken of the Mustang kind of in their natural, you know, environment, and I'll guide people to look at that footage, and we will focus in on one of their, what I call, wild wisdom tools. So something that they're doing that you can visually see and kind of tap into. I actually have a session that I created to try to help people understand what this is that I'd be happy to link folks to. It's a free session, but it's the wild wisdom tool of rhythm. So, you know, you and I both know that, you know, any time you use rhythm, it calms a horse down. Because that, you know, in the wild, the tiger doesn't, you know, walk rhythmically as they're coming to attack the horse. You know, anything that has rhythm tells the horse that they're going to be safe. Well, we have this same feeling. We have the same knowing deep within us. And so I'll have people tune in to this visually and really practice feeling that rhythm within and feeling the safety that comes from that. And I talk them through that. And, of course, in just explaining it to you like this, I feel like it so just scratches the surface because it is such a deep process. But that is part of it. And then, like I said about the horses, you know, with feeling emotions, horses are such clear, clean, fluid conduits for emotion to move through them.
Right.
You know, if a horse is afraid of something, I mean, he's just afraid of it. He's just going to spook and he's going to feel that fear. He's not going to fight feeling that fear. He's just going to feel it and he's going to let it move him and then he's going to let it move out of him. Mm-hmm. And that is so powerful. And what we don't realize is that you can never let fear move out of you if you don't allow it to move through you. And it can't move through you if you don't let it in you. You know, so it's really a relearning of how to feel in a way that the Wild Mustang does so that we can stop holding on to these emotions and we can release them and start being aware of the emotions we desire to hold on to and let those emotions guide, you know, our decisions and experiences and reality.
Right. So when you're talking about letting the fear, letting it enter you so that it can flow through you, so that it can come out of you, are you talking about just recognizing what it is, naming it, coping with it, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's a process of really recognizing, you know, the feeling itself and engaging with the feeling and not engaging with the story that caused it. And, you know, the stories are there, thoughts, experiences are there to create feelings that we feel. And if you will notice, if you have something that you are just really upset about, you have this really feeling that's just awful, you'll find your mind wants to keep playing out the story. It wants to keep telling you why you should feel bad.
Right, exactly.
Right? But it wants to go on, and it wants to come up with all these other stories to confirm just why you should feel like crap.
Right.
And so when you can figure out how to point your thoughts not at the story, but at the feeling itself, and go ahead and feel the feeling. Don't run from it. Say, you know, whatever the feeling is, give it a name. You know, is it fear? Is it anxiety? You know, is it judgment? Whatever. And go ahead and own it and say, yes, I feel you. You know, because the way I look at it and talk about it, feelings are just like people. They want to be felt. They want to be recognized and acknowledged. So you've got to look at it in the face and you've got to feel it. But you've got to only engage with the feeling and not the story. And it's a really tricky, I mean, it's a concept that we don't learn in school. We don't learn
right.
from our parents, typically.
Right.
We don't learn it at all. And it is a domestic I am to be able to, it's a domestic trait. It's something you do have to learn and practice and put into practice to really develop this tool, but it is so empowering because you truly can. It's like once you really engage with that feeling and not the story, it's almost like it's a ghost. Like when you look at it, it goes away. Like it's only there when you've got your eyes closed. But you got to really look at it and really engage with it. So it's a process, and that's just the first third of the course.
Okay.
We go from there into a whole process of going back through, you know, our child self, our future self, and using these tools that we developed in the beginning of the program, these tools of how to be more aware, how to tap into the natural tools the Wild Mustang uses, like rhythm, to help ground ourselves and create inner grazing mode peace, which the horse, you know, exists in 99% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then use and be able to feel and consciously choose what we're going to feel. You know, be able to do that in a conscious way and take those tools and then apply those tools to kind of going back through past experiences and visions of the future and being able to uncover along the way really that wild I am, that authentic self, and whatever wild I am it is that is trying to speak to you. Because that's really what it comes down to. There is a wild I am within each of us right now that is in your gut, and it is trying to push up through the layers to speak to you and tell you what you need to hear right now. And you can search for it all day long, but but the door opens within. You're not going to find it if you go looking for it. You've got to uncover it through all these layers. And so this is peeling away the layers to uncover that wild I am within.
I love it. That sounds fascinating.
It's pretty exciting.
That's fantastic. And so you said you have the three stages of the 9-week program in the members group right now that you're working with. You said the first stage is the feeling and the learning to feel again. What is the second stage?
The second stage is that child I am.
Okay.
It's really working our way back to rediscovering, tapping into that, who we were, you know, before the world told us who to be. And like I said, it can be really intimidating for some because some just can't even think of a memory that is a glimpse of that. But the thing is, once you get into the work, it shows up for you because it's there. I mean, even if it wasn't an actual experience you had as a child, I mean, it is, Your spirit is beyond the vessel of your body and your life experiences. So the Mustangs, they help take us back and give us the confidence and the security to be able to kind of take that ride back free time.
To open up to the ideas.
Yeah.
Very cool. And then what was the third stage?
The third is really looking into the higher self, you know, the I am that is your potential, that's who you can be if you really tap into that authentic wild I am self and live your true self, your true colors. And that's where, gosh, the Mustangs just really play a huge role because they, you know, we have a really hard time seeing anything beautiful in ourselves when we're struggling with owning that wild I am. So many people can't even say I am beautiful. And, I mean, they say that and that just doesn't, it feels wrong. And there's no reason that should feel wrong. There's every reason that should feel right.
Mm-hmm.
But you can look at a Mustang. You can look at a wild horse and you can say, oh, she is beautiful. You know, and so there are so many ways that this herd can reflect to you what it is that you crave to be, but yet don't think you are. And the thing that I love the most about it is if you can see it in the horse, it does exist in you. You may not be able to believe those words, but, I mean, that is a fact. You cannot see anything in this world if it does not exist within you as well. I mean, the world is a reflection. And that's a hard one to swallow because there's a lot of nastiness in the world. But there is a lot of beauty. And you can choose what you want to look at, what you want to focus on, what you want to magnify. And really, the nastiness is coming from that first part, the stuff that we talked about earlier about the swallowing the feelings and all this yuckiness that we're holding within. It's not the deep, purest, authentic part of us. And so the Mustangs give us this beautiful painting of what it is that we have the potential to be. And you find that as people do this program, they are drawn to the qualities that are really the qualities that they crave to embody themselves, but, you know, lots of times don't feel like they can.
That's fascinating. That's fascinating. So it's about new levels of self-discovery,
mm-hmm.
and then sounds like new levels of potential and self-fulfillment from this new information that the horses are helping them to find.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. So how can our listeners find out more about this program? And I know I'm going to be looking more into it too, because it sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it's MaryMillerJordan.com is still my website, and so that's the place to go. And really, if there's someone listening now that wants to join in on this particular, you know, on this online program now, it's not too late to. We're in the third week, but you could still join, and I can send you the material that we've already covered. And we have a private Facebook group where we're all supporting one another. The sessions are a combination of recorded and live. So actually this Saturday is our first live session, which is really nice because it's going to give a chance for everyone to be able to discuss together, you know, what they're going through and struggles, and encourage one another. And of course they can do that in the Facebook group as well. So yeah, all the information's there. The Wild I Am Experience is the name of the online program. It's okay. Actually separate from the member group. The member group is something else that I'm doing that I have a lot of folks doing the Wild I Am Experience that are in the member group. But that's something that I have going on that very, very low monthly fee of just $17 a month. And I do a lot of different types of things I offer. We do a live session every month. I do Wild Mustang Mondays where I send them a Wild I Am description for that Monday. And we have different ways that we interact and support one another there as well. But all that information is on the MaryMillerJordan.com website.
MaryMillerJordan.com. Okay, and I shared that link also on our video here. And now, folks, because of whatever the mistake was with our audio, folks get to actually see what happens behind the scenes here, how we're typing on the computer and we're writing and taking notes and we're adjusting the audio and all of this fun stuff as we go. So, yeah, it was not planned to be this way, gang, for you to see how all this stuff goes behind the scenes of this big fancy studio. But, hey, I don't know. Maybe it's going to be a new way that we roll with these broadcasts. So, all right. Well, Mary, this is some fascinating stuff, and I know you've got the little ones. You said you have the little ones in the tub. So I want to make sure that I don't keep you too long for this, but I've got some wrap-up questions, if you don't mind.
Yeah, and I'm fine. They're in the bed. Their daddy has them, and they're good. So, yeah, we can wrap up.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Good. So, all right, so these questions I kind of throw at everybody at the end here to get some more specifics. So if there's one specific thing you can recommend for riders for them to focus on as a primary means of improving their horsemanship, what would it be?
Oh, that's so good. Okay, hands down, learning what works for you to create inner grazing mode within yourself.
Nice.
That is everything. That is everything. For me, it's not, you don't get on the horse to go on a joyride and think about all the troubles that you had today and let the horse carry your thoughts away. I mean, the horse has to be a robot in that situation. So
right.
To really connect with the horse, you know, we've got to create that inner grazing mode within before we even go to touch the horse, much less get on.
I totally agree. You've got to bring that sense of peacefulness, regardless of what it is you're doing, whatever the task is, you've got to bring that focused peacefulness with you to the horse.
Yep.
That's awesome. So if you could ride with anyone, past or present, who would it be and why? You didn't think it was going to be this tough, did you?
What's that?
You didn't think it was going to be this tough, did you?
No, I didn't. And you know, gosh, that's a really hard one for me to answer because I admire so many people, so many different. I see so many people approach training in different ways, and I admire everyone that really, you know, makes an honest effort to go below the tools and underneath the tools rather, and you know, help bring to life that unseen stuff, all you know, that we're talking about, this grazing mode energy, and really help people understand feel and how to really connect for their horses in that way and kind of not get stuck in just the mechanics of it. So there's just so many as far as individuals that I respect that I can't bring myself to just say one specific person. And honestly, when I think about it, I keep thinking that it's not a person, it's a horse.
Oh, well, that's even more interesting.
I mean, you're asking a question that's definitely sending me. I mean, I feel like that's it. Okay, I have the answer. If I could go back in history and if I could meet and ride with or walk beside my horse that was really apparent to me all through college and all through high school and all through college. His name was Smash because he was a barrel racing bloodline. That okay. would be the ultimate. To be able to thank him and just be with him while he's passed on now, and he is still with me in spirit, but to be able to just be with him again and just let him know in the flesh just how grateful I am for all, because I feel like he sacrificed so much carrying me through, you know, just times that I just didn't know who I was. And, if I could walk beside him again, that's what I would do.
I love that. That's awesome. That's awesome. So let's see, next question. This is going to be a good one, I think. Just knowing you as much as I do now, I think this is going to be great. What is your personal definition of horsemanship?
Man, recognizing that it is a journey of connecting with another being that is really there to help you connect with what it is within you that you are craving to see and be. I know that's a really, really long explanation, but recognizing it's so beyond the things that we want the horse to do for us, or the getting the horse to behave a certain way, and recognizing all that the horse is there to teach us and show us about ourselves, and how much we can get out of that process. There's so much that they have that they are so trying to show us. And so many times we get so blinded by what it is we think that we're supposed to be showing them, you know. So.
That is so true. That is so true. And I see that every day.
You know,
I see that every day. But you're right. You know, it comes down to the dialogue versus the monologue, right? It's not us just talking to them. It's a conversation back and forth and a journey, just like you said. I love that. All right. Let's see. One more time on here. How can folks find you as a follow-up?
Oh, MaryMillerGordon.com, and then I also on Facebook, Wild Mustang Guides and MMJ is my Facebook page on there. We didn't even talk about the Soul Sisters, but there's links to that as well, the new Wild Mustang mares that we recently adopted. That's a whole other story. Let's do that another time.
I agree with you. We'll have to do another. I love it. Very cool. Okay, so now here comes the one that seems to trip everybody up. Every one of these broadcasts that I do, and most of the live videos that I do, we do a question of the day at the end of it. And that's a question where, if it's just me, I ask a question to our audience, and they give us an answer through the comments section of the videos here, of the broadcasts. But when I have a guest on, the guest gets to ask the question of the day. So I'm going to toss it to you, and you get to ask for our audience out here the question of the day.
Okay. Why is it that you think you are drawn to horses?
Ooh, I love it. I love it. Why is it you think you're drawn to horses? Mary wants to know your answer. Give that answer to her in the comments section below this broadcast. Mary, this has been so much fun. In spite of the fact that we had so many technical glitches at the beginning of this mess.
That's just all part of it. Apparently that was exactly the way it was supposed to roll.
That's it. Exactly. I keep saying this is why, you know, things like this are why I don't work for NASA. Right? I could just imagine how that would go. But thank you so much, Mary, for being here, for letting me steal you away from the family for this hour. I'm going to have some closing thoughts here, and then I will be back with you in just a second. If you could just hang on for me for 1 minute.
Thank you.
Perfect. So, gang, I want to thank you for tuning in for episode number 14 of Talking About Horses. I really appreciate you giving Mary and I your ear. Please remember, if you've missed any of this, you can access the full broadcast in all of its pieces here through Facebook, through YouTube, or by streaming it from iTunes. Through whatever outlet you're listening, please be sure to give us a rating, a comment, a review, and a share. Your word of mouth is the fuel for this fire. And tune in next week while I bring on my good friend Warwick Schiller for an interview. It's going to be great. Don't forget to tune in next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks, gang.